Matthew chapter 5. I want you to think about those God has used to influence your life. Maybe as a child, God brought somebody in your life to influence you. Maybe as a teenager, someone that God brought into your life to influence you. Maybe in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s. But throughout your life, God brought people into your life at strategic moments to influence your life, to be a blessing to you, to help you go to the next level in your living. I want you to think about that concept of how God has brought people to influence your life. And the reality is God wants you to influence the lives of others. God wants you to be an irresistible influence. I love how Rick Warren said, I think he said it best, that we are made by God and we're made for God. That God created you and God created me with a purpose in mind. So God didn't create you just for you to take up space, just so that you could breathe oxygen. God actually has a purpose and plan for your life, and God ultimately wants you to be an irresistible influence for His glory. And I love how Jesus packages that concept in the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 5. Look with me, if you would, in your listening guide in one hand, your Bible in the next. And on your listening guide, I do want you to write down this first statement before we dive into verse 13. Here it is. You are salt. Influence your world. You are salt. Influence your world. Now look at verse 13 in God's Word of Matthew chapter 5. You are the salt of the earth. Notice, you're not becoming that, but you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, isn't it interesting of all the analogies that Jesus could use about us, children of God, followers of Jesus Christ, of all the analogies Jesus could have used, he chose to use salt. Now, why is that? What is the significance of salt? Have you ever been called salt? Boy, you sure are salty today, and hopefully you're a salty saint, a child of God. Why would Jesus use salt? We love salt. It's very common to us. We like when salt's in a salt shaker. We really enjoy going to a Mexican restaurant, and even before you order the food, they bless you with chips and salsa. Now, what is your routine? If you were to eat with a tram fam for God, you hang out with the Trammels. The first thing we do is we take that salt and we baptize those chips. We saturate them. We immerse them in salt. And normally we'll ask, is this okay with you? Is this okay with you? Oh yeah, go ahead. So we just put that salt all over the chips. So we're used to salt in our family. You're used to salt in your journey. But in Jesus' day, salt was even more valuable. Because in Jesus' day, you didn't go into the kitchen and open up a GE ice box. There was no such thing as an ice maker. Could you go get us some ice down there at the ice machine? And so as a result, salt's primary purpose in Jesus' day was to preserve. So preserving meat would just be packed in salt as a preservative. A very important commodity in Jesus' day. In fact, salt was extremely valuable. We also learn that Roman soldiers were paid with salt. They were paid with salt, not cash, salt. Why? Because salt was so valuable in Jesus' day. That's where we've gotten the phrase, well, he's not worth his salt. What does that mean? Lazy, not really having a strong work ethic, because the Roman soldiers were paid with salt. Salt was also used to flavor. Amen. That's where we come in as Baptists. Salt is used to flavor. And it was used in the first century in that same way as well. So what I want to talk about this morning is how to increase your influence. Because the reality is God wants us to be salty saints. God wants us to influence other people. In our vernacular, it would be this. Don't be a thermometer. Be a thermostat. Don't go into an environment and let the environment be reflected on you. but rather you go set the environment. You be the thermostat. You set the environment of wherever God brings you. And the reality is some of you are in very difficult environments. Some of you will go home to a difficult environment. Some of you will wake up to a difficult environment. Some of you will go to a very challenging campus to be a part of. Some of you will go to a very difficult work environment. Some of you, when you go visit distant relatives, and we'll cover this at Thanksgiving. Sometimes that is the difficult environment for you. But the reality is, the Lord wants you to be salty. He wants you to influence the environments that He brings you into. So how do you increase your influence? Three steps. Here's number one. Stay uncontaminated by staying close and clean. Stay uncontaminated by staying close and clean. That's in your sermon listening guide. In Jesus' day, salt, of course, being so valuable, was valuable because of its saltiness. And the reality is, salt can't lose its saltiness as a grain. It can't lose its saltiness within itself because it is salt. It is made to be salty. What happens is there's an outside influence, minerals that contaminate salt, an outside influence that contaminates salt. And whenever that happened in the first century, they would just take the salt and throw it out and leave it on the path, and it would mix in with the dirt and just become part of the ground. Because an outside influence inhibited the effectiveness of the salt. That's why it's so important that we as children of God, as the salt of the earth, stay uncontaminated by staying close and clean. James 1:27, it's amazing. This is the third Sunday I've brought that verse to our attention. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this. This is how to put your religion into practice, your compassion into action, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And, listen to this, child of God, to keep oneself unstained from the world. In other words, don't get contaminated by the world. One of the highlights of my week, every week, is to take our vehicles through the car wash. Now, it used to, I would just go out in the driveway and I'd soap them up and wash them and dry them off and get them all shiny and detailed. But now we have four cars, and that's a lot of time. And I have discovered a close friend called Blue Wave Car Wash, close by from where we live. And for $6, you go through the car wash and it just details the car for you. It looks so wonderful. Even dries it off at the end. I mean, it's amazing. And what I love about it is that it's instant results. Whereas so much of ministry is you sow here, you invest here, and you don't reap immediately. It takes long term to really see the fruit, because that's just the life of ministry and investing in others and sowing seeds. But at a car wash, within minutes, you take a car that was filthy, dirty, disgusting, no shine, and it goes through that car wash and comes out shouting, "I'm clean. I've been set free." Has your car done that? And then you go, of course, and vacuum it and just detail it. And what you've done is you've decontaminated your vehicle. Why? Because just driving on the road, it's just the stuff of life. It's the dirt of life that gets on your vehicle. And the same is true as a child of God. As we walk in this world, just the world gets on us. The filth of this world gets on us, and we have to be decontaminated. And that's why God invites us to come to Him and confess our sins and claim that He is faithful and He is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So our role and our goal is to stay close and clean. So we have to be intentional about our purity. Here's number two. Saturate your social sphere by being hospitable. So as salt saturates and influences, we are the salt of the earth. So as salt, we are to saturate our social sphere. That is, God is bringing people into our lives. Think about all the different environments you're involved in and how there are people there. And God wants us to saturate those social spheres by being hospitable. That is, by being gracious, by being kind, by being delightful, by being attractional. That other people are drawn to us because we're being hospitable. Now, here's the wonderful news. Salt flavors. And you can flavor your mission field. Now, your primary mission field is your home, where you live. That's your primary mission field. And then beyond that is your neighborhood or your apartment complex. Wherever God has planted you, you are to bloom for His glory. Here's the wonderful news. Tomorrow night in America is called what? It's Halloween. It's trick-or-treat night. You say, oh, but that's for the devil. No, no. That's when children go door-to-door with their families to receive candy. Now, there are ghosts and goblins and devils that are dressed up. There's all kinds of things out there. But we can make it unique and special. And here's what we can do. We can allow our home to be a place of hospitality. So here's what the Tram Fan's going to do tomorrow. Now, we're going to have fun with this. We have bought loads and loads of candy. Lots of candy. And we're going to have our bag chairs out on our driveway. We'll have the light on, and we're going to have our bowls of candy out there available. And whenever our community comes by our house, families bringing kids to our home, we're going to give them something sweet. Because we've got loads of sweets. We're going to bless them. Their dentist is going to be so thankful for us. We're going to bless them with sweets. But more than just bless them with calories, we're going to invite them to our North Campus. We have hundreds of these cards at our Next Step booth in the atrium, and we're just going to grab a stack on our way out today before I do Blue Crew Teardown. Just going to grab a stack. And then tomorrow night, as we're handing out candy, we're going to hand out candy, and we're going to invite those in our neighborhood who come to our home. We're going to invite them to come to our North Campus. We're just going to invite them. So we're going to invite them to enjoy their sweets, and then we're going to invite them to come to our North Campus so they can get to know Christ. It's already done. People are already coming to your house. You've got to decide if your lights are going to be home and nobody's home, or if you're going to be hospitable. Now, there are years where we get away and we go to the mall or we go out to eat because we just don't want to do the trick-or-treat thing. But we decided this year, you know what we're going to do? We're going to just bloom where God's planted us, and we're going to bless people with sweets, treats, and an invitation to our North Campus. Isn't that going to be fun? You know what I'm praying for? That in our candy, there's some peanut butter cups. Here's number three. Generate thirst by serving others through acts of kindness. Salt generates thirst. And as a salty saint, as you're walking with God, you will generate thirst in others. As you serve others, as you love others through acts of kindness. And today, between 5 and 7:30, we're going to have over 10,000 people coming to our Creek campus, and we're going to be hosting our community and serving them and loving on them and splashing living water on them and being Jesus to them as they come to our campus. Now, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Join us in hosting a candy car. We have four cars in our family. We're bringing three to Candy Crush today. You have to be there by 4 o'clock. We have a North Campus section. Guess what they named our section? Sweet. I love that. That is so perfect. Sweet. Come experience the sweet portion of the campus, and it is going to be sweet. Here's all you do. If you're not ready for this, all you have to do right after the service today is you just go to Walmart or Walgreens or to Sam's and buy 1,000 pieces of candy. Now, not just the individual ones. You go buy bags of candy, but 1,000 pieces of candy is what each car is going to bring. And all you do is you're going to drive into your space, our North Campus section called Sweet, and it's there for you, for your feet to get planted and to serve sweets. And all you do is drive in, you open your tailgate or your tailgate. You just open the back of your vehicle. You can put a couple bag chairs there to sit down. You have your candy available, and we're just going to serve. And thousands of kids and families are going to come by your trunk or your tailgate. It's kind of like tailgating, but it's even sweeter than that. It's just hosting our community, showing the love of Jesus. And you can do that. That's an act of kindness. Go buy 1,000 pieces of candy, and then when you run out of candy, and you will, the good news is our church has bought thousands and thousands of pounds of candy, and they're going to just bring by more candy to reload your trunk. Isn't that going to be fun? Now, you can decorate, or you don't have to decorate. Some people go all out in decorating. You can see it here in this picture. Some people really go all out, but you don't have to decorate unless you want to, and I hope you'll be there. Let's have a great North Campus showing today, and let's love on our community. So generate thirst by serving others through acts of kindness. Have you heard this statement? You can't make a horse drink water, but you can salt his oats. The Lord wants us to be an irresistible influence. And one way we generate thirst in our culture and our community is through serving others through acts of kindness. So Jesus says, you are salt. Influence your world. But he also says, you are light. Illuminate your world. You are light. Not you're becoming light, but you are light. If you're a child of God, you are light. And Jesus wants us to illuminate our world. Look at verse 14. I love this. You are the light of the world. That's a reality as a child of God. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. That is a little lamp of olive oil with a wick in first century that would illuminate the house. They wouldn't put that on the floor. They wouldn't put it under a bowl. They'd put it up on a stand so that it could illuminate the home. In the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, why would Jesus use the analogy of light? Because Jesus is inviting us to engage a world of darkness. And he says, you are the light of the world. You are light. And we're to illuminate our world. We're to engage this world of darkness. And the reality is, the darker the night, the brighter the light. You may say, but Pastor Stephen, I'm in such a dark environment. Praise God. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Oh, if you went to work with me, you have no idea what environment I go to and how dark it is. The darker the night, the brighter the light. Maybe God's allowed you to go to that environment so that you can bring his light to that environment. But it's dark, it's dreary. That's why you are there, is to illuminate your world and to make a difference in the place God has planted you. How do you do that? Three steps. Number one, make God visible by staying true to your new identity. You can make God visible by being true to your new identity. Remember who you are in Jesus. You're a child of the living God. You are God's workmanship. You're God's masterpiece. You're God's treasure. You're the apple of God's eye. Stay true to your new identity in Christ, that if anyone is in Christ, the old is gone. Behold, all things have become brand new. Here's what Jesus said in John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, that would be us, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Here's what Jesus is saying. Follow me. Follow me. Let your light shine before others and let them see your good works. And then they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we follow Jesus. As we follow Jesus, we let his light shine through us. Others see our good works and they bring glory to God, our Heavenly Father. So here's the key. We don't do good works to be seen, but we want to be seen doing good works and giving our Heavenly Father the glory. Make God visible by staying true to your new identity. Is there anyone in your life right now that needs to know God is alive and he is real and he's pursuing? You see, God is waiting for you to make him visible to others. Here's number two. Walk as a child of light by walking in the light God gives you. Walk as a child of light. Don't walk as a child of darkness. You've been delivered from the domain of darkness and placed in the kingdom of the light. So walk as a child of light by walking in the light God gives you. We pick up now in Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were darkness. Remember that? Remember what it was like being lost, being unsaved, being disconnected from holy God? Do you remember what it was like to walk in darkness and to be in darkness? But God pursued you. He rescued you with his redeeming love. Now, you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Something I've noticed in walking with God for 37 years is I find that I'm brighter as a light at times more than at other times. I also find that there are times when I'm saltier than at other times. Have you found that in your life? Like, there are just times where you're really salty and really making a difference, and it's so obvious that you're walking in fellowship with the Lord, and the Holy Spirit has full reign in your life, and you're making an eternal difference, that you are you're radiating His light, and it's just very evident you're walking with God. But that's not always the case, is it? It seems like it's seasonal. It seems like we get so inconsistent, where there are times where we're very salty and very engaged with caring about people and loving people, shining God's light and sharing God's love. And then there are times where we're really not very bright. We're really not shining His light brightly. In fact, we conceal His light. And I've noticed that in my own journey with God, that there are times where there's almost like degrees of saltiness and degrees of brightness in my own life. It's like when I take my iPhone and I try to dim it down a little bit, or on my computer, it's too bright for this environment, so I try to dim it down a little bit. It feels like I dim it down in my own life too often. Instead of being bright and radiating the presence of God and shining His light and sharing His love and being salty. And so I journey in that and wrestle with that. And what I've discovered is I spend time alone with God and allow Him to x-ray my life and do an MRI of my soul and to scan every fiber of my being. In my daily quiet time, God will show me areas that are out of alignment. He'll show me areas that need attention in my life. And sometimes it's just a few areas, and sometimes it's several areas. But just being still in God's presence and saying, "Lord, search my heart," God will just x-ray your life, and He'll do an MRI of your soul. And He'll show you areas that are out of alignment or that need adjustment or that need attention. He'll show you what is contaminating your salt. He'll show you what is diffusing your light. And it's all about just getting real with God. And here's what I love about God. No one knows you more than He does, and no one loves you more than He does. And what blows me away, even after 37 years of knowing the Lord, is that though He knows me, He still chooses to use me. Have you experienced that? Though He knows me like no one else, He still chooses to use me. Walk as a child of light by walking in the light God gives you. And then thirdly, you ready for this one? Now this one's fun. It's more challenging, but it's fun. Go public with your faith by engaging in spiritual conversation. Go public with your faith by engaging in spiritual conversation. Have you noticed how easy it is to talk about the weather with anybody? Have you noticed how easy it is to tell somebody about a restaurant you went to and how amazing it was and you've got to go? Have you noticed how easy it is to tell somebody how much salt you put on those chips and salsa? Now, all the Mexican restaurants around here are going to be booming today. Or the last movie you saw? Have you seen the sale they're having over there? And you can just tell everybody. You're so free. You've got to read this book. This book I read was amazing. You've got to read it. When y'all go on vacation, you've got to go to this place. This is like the ultimate resort. And you can tell anybody about it because you're unashamed. Why is it that when it comes to the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ that can change somebody's forever, we conceal the light? We hide it. We become fearful when we hold the cure to the cancer of sin and we withhold. I can tell you this. If I receive the cure to cancer today, I'm going straight down to MD Anderson. I may be late to Candy Crush. If I find the cure to cancer, I'm going straight to MD Anderson because I'm ready for cancer to be cured. But yet we have the cure to the cancer of sin and we go silent. Paul said, "But I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation." But yet we withhold and we conceal the light. Go public with your faith by engaging in spiritual conversation. 1 Peter 3:15, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense," that is to give an answer to anyone who asks for the reason for the hope that is in you, "yet do it with gentleness and respect." Some of you have heard this experience I had on a plane, but I just love this experience and just how God showed up. I was flying from Daytona, I think, to Atlanta. I'd gone to a faith summit to really formalize sharing my faith and being a faith summit church years ago. And the guy sitting next to me, his name was John. I was getting to know him. And so I said, "Well, John, what do you do?" And he said, well, I'm a manager at Chili's in Charleston, South Carolina. And I said, well, man, that's fantastic. He said, in fact, this whole plane is filled with managers from Chili's all over America. And I was like, wow. I said, I like Chili's. And we began to get to know each other a little bit more. And I said, well, John, let me ask you a question. In your personal opinion, what do you understand it takes for a person to get to heaven and have eternal life? And he gave me what's called a works answer. He talked about being ethical and being good. And I said, well, I'd like to share with you how the Bible answered this question. It's all right. He said, sure. And I shared faith, F-A-I-T-H, and it's basically forgiveness is available, but it's impossible unless you turn from your sin and trust in Jesus alone for salvation, and you'll go to heaven. So about a four-minute presentation, I shared that with John. And then I said, now, John, understanding what we've shared, would you like to receive God's forgiveness by trusting in Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? And he said to me, well, Stephen, I've already done that. I said, well, tell me about your experience. He said, when I was 10 years of age, my grandmother led me to faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, he said, I knelt down beside her bed in her home, and I gave my life to Christ. And I said, well, do you know for certain if you were to die tonight, you'd go to heaven? He said, I know for certain. And then he just got kind of quiet. I was relieved. He's saved. It's all good. If the plane goes down, we're going up. And then all of a sudden he said, you know what bothers me? I said, what's that? He said, here I am a manager at Chili's, and my employees don't even know I'm a Christian. And in that moment, I just thought, how do I respond to that? Thought about my college education, my seminary education, and all of a sudden, God gave it to me. And I said, man, go public. Go public with your faith. Now, what I was thinking is everything else is coming out of the closet. It's about time for Christians to come out of the closet. We have the hope of life. We have the light of the world. We have the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ. You're afraid to say amen right there, weren't you? It's time for us to reveal the light of the world. Because God has given us a gospel worth sharing. Jesus has given us his life. He died and 3 days later rose from the dead. And the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available for us. That's why we're to share the gospel. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So let's stop concealing the light and start revealing the light. Let's start going public with our faith by engaging in spiritual conversation. All you have to do is ask someone about their eternal destiny. Where do you think you'll spend eternity? And start there. And watch how God will use your testimony, your salvation experience, to share the gospel with a person far from God. Here's my question I want to ask you. It's in your notes. I actually wrote this down when our daughter Tori was in seventh grade. I was dropping her off at Denham Springs Junior High in carpool line. And it was just one of those days where I was a little discouraged on that day, and I thought, am I really making a difference with my life? So I took out a McDonald's napkin, I wrote in red pen, I always write in red, and I wrote this question the Lord just put on my heart. What will be different in eternity because of your life on earth today? And for me, it just changed everything. Because I was so focused on right now and how I'm feeling right now, and that question changed it all for me. What will be different in eternity because of your life on earth today? So here's the choice. Be intentional, influence your world, and illuminate your world. Let's go public with our faith.
We hope that you've enjoyed the message today and that it will be a source of encouragement to you this week. At Champion Forest Baptist Church, we desire to help people make sense out of life through Christ-centered living. And that's because with Christ, we have hope and true satisfaction. The Bible clearly states that all men have offended God by worshiping things he created instead of him. We have chosen to reject his authority in our life and look for satisfaction in things he created instead of him, which is ultimately pointless given that he is truly the only thing that can satisfy us completely. He is the perfection of everything we seek. The problem is, though, that once we have sinned against him by turning to these other things, a gap is created between us, not allowing us to access him anymore to find this satisfaction. God's character demands that our rebellion be accounted for before he forgives us. And this is the beauty of the message of Jesus. Christ is perfect in every way. He never rebelled against God, and he took upon our punishment on himself so that we could be reconciled to God and be fully satisfied in him, gaining eternal life. We need Jesus because without him, we are without hope, both in this life and for eternity. Turn to Christ alone for forgiveness and find satisfaction fully in our great God. Once again, thanks for joining us today, and we hope to see you soon.